Thessalonians chapter 3, I think. 2. Now tonight, well, let me do this. Each chapter in the book of Thessalonians has a theme. And thus far, we've looked at chapter 1, and its theme is salvation. We talked about the doctrine of election and repentance and other basic Bible doctrines. The theme of chapter 2 is that of service. Verses 1 through 12, we have Paul's secret for success in the sight of God. Paul went to Thessalonica. He preached the gospel for 3 weeks. Lots of folks got saved. A church was established. It was very strong. And in verses 1 through 12 of chapter 2, we see that. And then in verse 13 and forward to the end of the chapter, he gives them some practical words regarding how they received the word of God and how we should. Then in chapter 3, the theme is sanctification. And we're going to see this as we go along. You know, every chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians mentions the second coming of Christ. It's mentioned in verse 10 of chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 of chapter 2, and we'll look at the others as we travel along in this book. Now, before we get into chapter 3 formally, directly, I want to go back and cover something that I mentioned last week, and if I didn't, I meant to. Beginning in verse 19 of chapter 2, let's read verses 19 and 20. He says, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Now, Paul here is looking forward, he says, to the day when he's standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And he sees himself there surrounded by all those whom he led to faith in Christ, those that he's won to Christ, and they will form his crown of rejoicing. There are 5 crowns mentioned in the Bible. These will be given to believers if they have earned them at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we are not to try to earn these crowns so we can say, "Hey, look at my crowns." The purpose will be to give those rewards, those crowns, to Christ at the appropriate time in heaven. Before we get into chapter 3, I want us to look at those 5 crowns real quickly. And if you've got your pen, you probably won't have time to turn to it, but I'll give you the Bible passages. If I will turn to them, but you may or may not have time. But we're going to try to get you to take some notes about the judgment seat of Christ and the 5 crowns. And I wish there was some way we could get every believer, every member of any church, to understand how really important this matter of crowns is. Let's start by going to Revelation chapter 4. Now remember that the book of Revelation is one of the easiest books in the Bible to understand, as long as you have the key that unlocks the door. The key is in verse 19 of chapter 1, and Jesus is speaking to John, and he says, "I want you to write 3 things. Write what the things which thou hast seen," that's chapter 1, the beautiful vision of Christ. "Write the things which are," 7 letters to 7 churches of Asia Minor, chapters 2 and 3. "And the things which shall be hereafter," 2 Greek words, meta tauta, the things that shall be after the things of the churches. Now when we get to chapter 4, verse 1, we find the 2 words after this. In the Greek, they're the same exact words, meta tauta. Okay? So he writes chapter 1, the beautiful vision of Christ. He saw Jesus like he hadn't seen him since way many decades before. And then he writes the 7 letters to the 7 churches, chapters 2 and 3. And then after the churches, chapter 4, verse 1, "I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven." So you have churches all over the place in chapters 2 and 3, and they disappear, chapter 4, they're gone. Why? Because there are no more churches. Why? Because they're not there. They're in heaven. John is in type and in picture caught up to heaven at what we call the rapture. Now in verse 10, it says that, look at verse 10. I'll just read it if you're not there. "The 24 elders," that's us, that's a picture of all saved of the church age, "fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne." We believers will one day cast our crowns at the feet of Christ. And that's why it's so very important that we serve Christ in this life. Amen? We have a tremendous privilege and responsibility in this life to serve the Lord. And as a reward for our faithful service, He will give us crowns, which we will in turn give back to Him as a love gift for our, as in our appreciation for what He has done for us. And it's a tremendous privilege to cast our crowns at His feet. Queen Victoria said, "I hope the Lord Jesus comes for us," talking about the rapture, "while I'm still alive. I'm still on the throne of the King of the Empire of England. I want to lay the crown of England at the feet of my Lord." Wow. So that's why this matter of service is so important in this life. And it's the reason you and I need to read our Bibles daily, pray daily, be faithful in our church attendance, and witness using gospel tracts, whatever we can, and do everything, because one day we're going to be there and we don't want to be without any crowns. Everything that you and I do for Christ will be wrapped up in these things the Bible calls crowns. And you and I are going to give those to Jesus. Now, don't answer this, but let me ask you, if you died right now, and death, by the way, ends your crown gathering, you know, ability, right? Now, what you do for Jesus keeps going, that's true. But your actual active participation in the earning of crowns ends at the point of death. If you died right now, would there be anything there for, waiting for you? That's a good question. Scary question. Look it over at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or you can just write it down. Put down 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says the following. Well, actually 24 through 26. Let me just read the verse. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." Now, this was before modern America. Today we'd write, "They that run in a race run all, and everyone receives a prize," right? You get a star for being participation. But in those days, it's everyone that runs, but only one wins. "So run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, and they do it," an earthly athlete, "to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it for to earn an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air." He says, I'm not just shadow boxing, I'm going for it. And you could write here that Paul's just saying, I go for it whole hog, right? Whole hog. So the first crown that's mentioned in the Bible is the incorruptible crown, mentioned here in verse 25. Incorruptible crown. It's given to those who are disciplined in their spiritual lives. And, you know, some people aren't disciplined enough to read their Bible every day or pray regularly or witness or even church attendance, you know. But those who are will receive an incorruptible crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 gives us the second crown. Let's look at that in verse 2:19 and 20 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's the crown of rejoicing. He says this, well, we just read it for the sake of time, just look at it again quickly. He says, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." The word glory and rejoicing are the same idea. He's talking about the same thing. So Paul tells these believers in Thessalonica, when I stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat, I'm going to be surrounded by all those whom I've led to faith in Christ, you folks included, and I will rejoice. You will rejoice. I think the angels will too, don't you? And we'll all be rejoicing, and I will receive a crown of rejoicing. Only those, by the way, this has also been called the soul winner's crown, the soul winner's crown, given to those who lead other people to Jesus, and only those who won other people to faith in Christ will be given that crown. So if you died right now, every opportunity for you to win somebody to Jesus ends. So we want to be sure that we are not failing in that. Now, again, some are so undisciplined, they're going to miss the incorruptible crown, and having missed that, they're going to be sure to miss the soul winner's crown. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, just over to the right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have a third crown mentioned in verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. Sit. Shush. Let me read the verse again. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. If you read the context, you will see that this crown is given to a person who is as a reward for godly living, living a separated life. You know, we live in a day when having standards as believers is ridicule. People who are lost or even professing Christians, well, you mean you don't participate in that, or you don't drink that or smoke that or what? Yeah, no, I don't do that. You mean you go to church? Yes. You give time? Yes. Well, that's just nuts. They think you're crazy. I mean, when we as Bible-believing Christians have scriptural convictions that result in our living holy, separated lives as best the Lord helps us to understand, we're looked down upon, ridiculed. And the believer who lives or attempts to live a godly life will be given a crown of righteousness. That's why he reads his Bible daily, prays regularly, and all those other things, stays away from questionable things. The trouble with most professing Christians is most of them live just like the lost. You can't tell them apart. I keep saying that the church is changing, or the culture is changing the church instead of the church changing the culture, and that's what's going on. It's probably going to surprise us how precious few really receive the crown of righteousness at the judgment seat. There's a fourth crown found in 1 Peter chapter 5. Over to the right, 1 Peter chapter 5. It's called the crown of glory. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 4. I said 1 Peter and turned to 2 Peter. There is no 1 Peter, 2 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now the crown of glory is the only one of the five crowns that's not available to every believer. It is reserved for faithful pastors. Now I'll turn over to Revelation chapter 2. And we have the fifth one. It's called the crown of life. This is a beautiful thing. Verse 10, Revelation chapter 2. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This is given to the overcomers. Now, who are the overcomers? Well, the overcomers are not the... An overcomer in the Bible is not the Christian who grits his teeth and clenches his fist, balls his fist up and grits his teeth and says, I'm going to be godly. No. If you're saved, guess what? You're part of the body of Christ. And Christ overcame sin and death and hell. Amen? And so if you're in Christ, guess what? By being in him, you overcame death and the grave and hell. It is the person who has been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another way to say that is the person that's been born again. They have new life in Christ. They're going to receive the crown of life. So, there's five crowns. The incorruptible, those who live disciplined spiritual lives. There's the crown of rejoicing. That's the soul winner's crown. The crown of righteousness, the one who lives a godly life. The crown of glory for faithful pastors. And the crown of life to the overcomer. So everyone who's saved is an overcomer. At least you're going to get one, right? And the interesting thing about it is that's the one that is given to you and not earned by you. Which I think is a beautiful thing. Okay, if we go ahead into 1 Thessalonians 3, we'll be in here for 45 more minutes. So since we started late, we'll stop early, okay? And next week when we get together, we'll go on into chapter 3. But I didn't want to leave that passage where he talks about the crown of glory, rejoicing, without going through that, because I think that's very important. Would you all agree? Very important. We serve Jesus not because we are forced to, not because we are scared of him. We want to serve him because we love him, and part of that will result in our being rewarded. Not in order. The reward is heaven. And by the way, like I said, if you're an overcomer, the crown of life, you already got that. You're not going to earn that. That's a gift. But the rest we want to earn so we can give it away, and because Jesus has done so much for us. And that's why we love him. And we want to show that. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus who gave himself for us. I thank you that he did not remain dead in the borrowed tomb, but he was raised by your power on the third day and liveth forevermore. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you're already preparing for us to share him, the gospel of Christ this week, that we will do so as you give us opportunity, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All God's people said amen. All right. Thank you for being here, and pray that everybody will be well on Sunday. All these sick folks, okay? And get them all back in. Thank you.